Hello, it's Jeff Robbins, and it's another Lullabot Drupal podcast. This is another one of the little mini interviews that Robert Douglas did with the various Summer of Code students. This is an interview with Konstantin Kafer from Germany. I also wanted to just quickly mention that Lullabot has workshops coming up in January in Providence, Rhode Island. You should go to lullabot.com/training to find out more about that. Without further ado, here's Robert.
I'm here talking with Konstantin Kafer from Germany, who did an amazing amount of work for improving the administration interface of Drupal. Hi, Konstantin.
Hello, Robert.
Nice to finally meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too.
So tell me about Summer of Code and the stuff that you did this summer.
Well, I did basically three different things. The first, the main thing, is the collapsible tree. Well, I found that Drupal lacks a good, I'd say, tree system to display hierarchical structures. And it always was with these indent things, those dashes to indent the structures, and that was kind of messy.
Where would somebody see something like that in Drupal?
For example, if you have to select a menu item as a parent, if you insert a new menu item, you have to choose a parent where you attach the new menu item to. And currently you have a drop-down list, and it's kind of messy. With the tree control, you can expand or collapse the tree and select a menu item easily.
Okay, so it's really a visual aid more than anything.
Yeah. And another feature of the tree control is also reordering. For example, if you have a taxonomy tree, a tree of taxonomy terms, and you want to reorder them, currently you have to click on edit for every single term and change the weight. And with the a taxonomy tree, with a tree widget, you simply drag the item around and it's saved automatically.
Oh, that's fantastic. That would save you a lot of time. That probably also works for the book hierarchy.
Yeah,
as well.
It works pretty much for everything. It's done generic so that you can apply it to lots of different use cases.
Now, how did you implement that? I know that this is an age-old problem, and it's been implemented thousands of different ways in the past, including Java and JavaScript and Flash. How did you do it, and did you use other libraries?
I used jQuery, and I also worked on the jQuery patch and helped get it into core. And because jQuery makes writing JavaScript applications that simple, you don't need a lot of code to achieve very cool effects.
So you, based on the jQuery library, you wrote your own JavaScript code to do the tree.
Yeah.
Rendering.
Exactly.
Now, when you put all these hierarchical structures in a select list, there's a real limit to how useful that can be, especially when you're dealing with a large set. On the other hand, that work's all done on the server. Okay, so the select element is built on the server, and the server is usually a pretty fast machine, and so the load and responsibility of building the tree falls to the server. And when you build this tree representation in the client in JavaScript, then you've shifted the burden of that processing to the client. Isn't that true?
Well, actually, the building process is also done on the server, and the client just receives plain HTML code, and some JavaScript magic is applied to it. Which just attaches event handlers for clicking and so on. And there's actually not a lot of things the client does.
Okay. So In your opinion, do you think that there are practical limits to how large these trees can get before the client has a hard time or takes a long time rendering them?
I didn't actually measure it, but I guess if you have several hundred items, it can get quite slow. But if you use a select or drop down widget, it's also pretty slow and difficult to use.
Well, it probably renders more quickly because it's done, you know, by native browser code. But it, the human element, the finding and selecting aspect, can be very tedious. I once saw a select filled with several thousand items, and where the person was expected to find one of them and select them.
Yeah.
a stupider joke has never been told. You can't do it. It takes you 10 minutes to find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So that was one of the three improvements you made. What were the other two?
Another improvement is live editing. If you have seen Flickr, at Flickr you click on on the title of a photo, and the title is replaced with an input box, and you punch in your new title for the photo and click on save. And that's basically the same just for Drupal.
Wow. Do you think anybody would want that?
I'm sure anybody would want that.
I want it.
And that also can be applied to a lot of different place in a lot of different places in Drupal. For example, for editing basically any title in lists or and so on. For example, on the note listing page, you have those titles, and now you can just click on them. And it is replaced with an import box. You put in your new title and click on save, and it's saved.
Does this just apply to titles or to all text areas and fields?
Well, you can basically apply it to every string in the Drupal user interface. And there are also efforts to make this work with all the T strings. That means that you can translate a Drupal site very quickly by just clicking on the string directly in the interface, but there are still some problems with that because you can't click on a button without behaving the button like a button, and so it's pretty difficult to click on the button and replace it with a text field.
Okay, so what you're explaining is that we have this function in Drupal that's the shortest named function ever. It's the T function. It's what all Drupal strings are wrapped within if they are to be translatable. If you want, so for example, if you have a button that says submit, the developer will wrap the text submit in this T function, and that'll let somebody later translate that into German or Italian or whatever. And you're saying that your work would allow people to do translations of these strings in the browser itself, except that you've got this technical hurdle that the text within a submit button is, in fact, within a submit button, and clicking it has this other behavior which inconveniently submits the form rather than allows you to translate the submit button.
Yeah, right.
Okay, got it. Just wanted to make sure I was on the same page here. But for the other strings that are in the site, so headings, for example, those should be possible to translate.
Yeah, that's perfectly doable.
Okay.
And also for menu items, I did a demo with menu items, and you have these this menu tree on the left side, and there's a small icon right to it. And if you click that icon, the link is actually replaced with the text field, and the save and cancel button and so on, and you can just edit the menu items on the fly.
That's really great. And how invasive is this code? Do you have to patch Drupal core to enable it or to make it work?
No. As far as I remember, everything is a module currently, and I plan to also provide a patch for the next Drupal release. Not for 5.0, but for the next one, I guess, 5.1.
Okay, that would then actually move this into core.
Yeah.
So what was the third improvement that you managed to make in Summer of Code?
The third one is actually a pretty small improvement. That's fast toggling. I call it fast toggling. And for example, you have several binary settings scattered around Drupal. For example, the status of a node, if it's published or not. And also on the node listing page, you can now click on published, and a small saving button appears, and the node is then unpublished, and that also changes directly on the page.
Okay, so anywhere that you have a checkbox, basically, say whether a theme is enabled or not, or whether a module is enabled or not, theoretically could be changed into a link where you just click the link.
Yes.
And that saves you the extra click of scrolling down the page and clicking the submit button.
Right.
That's pretty cool. And all three of those are separate projects, or no, they're in your sandbox still, right?
Yes, they are in the sandbox.
Okay, so could you provide some instructions to the listener right now who wants to go and test these?
I put a post up on groups.drupal.org in my Summer of Code group, and that's groups.drupal.org/soc-admin-usability-improvements. And there you'll find a post on how to test the tree, and it involves basically applying a patch to Drupal core, because that was necessary at the time when I submitted the work for Summer of Code, because jQuery was not yet into core, and several other things that in between were committed to core were still missing. That also means that you need a copy of Drupalhead from, I guess, August 21 to apply that patch.
So this would be pretty hard to do for the normal listener at this moment.
Well, yes, I'd say so. But in the next couple of weeks until DrupalCon, I plan to re-roll the patches and rewrite the modules a bit so that it works just as a regular module, so that the average user can just download the module and put it into his sites or modules directory and use the features.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Excellent. Who mentored you on these projects?
That was Nick Lewis and Robert Canlis. Ruben D. Canlis.
Right. So tell me a little bit about your involvement with the jQuery patch. What exactly did you manage to do with that, besides make Steve Wittens really mad?
Well, first of all, I kind of gave my 2 cents to all the stuff that has taken place in advance to adopting the jQuery library, like the discussing stuff on which library to use and what the best for Drupal would be. And I also reviewed the jQuery patches and also did some improvements to it. And I also added the new Drupal add JS function, which makes adding JavaScript to Drupal even easier than it was before. And with that function, you can now also add settings for your modules as JavaScript code directly into the head of the page.
Okay. So you really spearheaded the entire effort to make this Drupal release a really major improvement in terms of JavaScript. Or at least you did that on the groups.drupal.org site, right?
Well, of course, Steven has done a lot of great work, and he's done even more than I have, and he also deserves the credit for all the jQuery porting functionality stuff.
Okay. But credit where credit due, you helped a lot, and for a Summer of Code student, I think that's really great, so I just wanted to point that out, because most of the other projects are modules which can be developed on their own and don't really need a lot of interaction with the core developers, And it takes a whole different level of involvement that, frankly, a lot of Summer of Code students don't have when they come to the project. They don't have it. They're still learning how to use Drupal and how the community works and things like that. And the fact that you were able to go in and participate in submitting core patches and reviewing them and discussing the strategies for how the next release was going to be shaped, I just thought that was worth mentioning. So congratulations, Constantine.
Yeah, thanks.
Anything else you wanted to add? What was, if you had to summarize your takeaway experience for Summer of Code, what would that be?
Well, it's definitely a great experience, and I definitely do it again if I get the possibility to. And I think I learned a lot of great stuff. I've also been quite some time on the Drupal IRC channel, and I've learned a lot there too, and it's definitely a great resource, and yeah, I met a lot of great people there, and yeah, that's basically it.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for doing Summer of Code, and good luck.
Yeah, thanks for having me.